If you have a Bible this morning, back to 2 Samuel chapter 6 for just a few minutes. 2 Samuel chapter 6. If you've just come like Peter did, you don't know what we've been talking about, but that's okay too, because he'll jump right in and figure it out. Sister Mila, nice to see you too. Jumping right in. I don't know who else is jumping right in. Some of you have been here, but the first time here. But anyway, we've been studying about or looking at this chapter. The Ark came back to Jerusalem. We finally got the Ark back to Jerusalem. And we read about some of that yesterday. Let me just read some more of the story. Let me start with verse 12. And that will be repetitious for some, and we'll continue on down through 12. But let me read there from 12th verse of 2 Samuel chapter 6. Now King David was told that the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken six steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window. And when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. They brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent that David had pitched for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings before the Lord. After he finished sacrificing the burnt offerings and fellowship offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord Almighty. Then he gave a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins to each person in the whole crowd of Israelites. Both men and women and all the people went to their homes. Well, when David returned home to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, "How the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would." David said to Michal, "It was before the Lord, who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes, but by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor." And Michal, daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. Now, there are four or five other things that we could bring out that I would like to. There are probably many more than that. But I'd like to just start with talking about Michal for a few moments. Maybe just suffice to say, any David that marries a Michal's got trouble on their hands. You know, Michal was a girl, you understand that. And she was, what did we read? What was her title three times that I read? What was she? The daughter of Saul. I mean, can't we call her David's wife? That's what she was. So don't miss that either. This was David's wife. But it's interesting to me at least, that three times she's referred to as the daughter of Saul. Of course, Saul was the arch enemy of David. And yes, and you could go back and you could read about the marriage and all the rest of that and how that came to be. But Michal was married to David. And David, as we read yesterday or just read this morning again, David was rejoicing. David was just, he was just filled with joy and praise and glory, and he danced with all his might as the ark was coming up the road into Jerusalem. And you've got to be able to wrap your mind around all that that meant for David. I mean, this wasn't a, you know, every day I can go to church and sense God's presence, and so here I am. This was, I have never sensed God's presence before like I'm sensing it today. The ark is coming back to the people of God, and it's just the best day in the history of the children of Israel as far as David's concerned. The ark is now restored to the place of its rest, and it's just where it's supposed to be. And he was just so overwhelmed, he couldn't contain himself. So he jumped and he shouted and he rejoiced, and he wasn't the only one. There were thousands of others that he had called upon, enlisted to also rejoice and play their instruments and sing praise to God and celebrate this wonderful, tremendous day. And everybody was doing that. Well, almost everybody was doing that. Maybe there are others in the kingdom that weren't, but I don't know of them. I do know of just one that the Bible talks about that didn't like this at all. She didn't like what David was doing. She didn't like to see him jumping around. As we said yesterday, he took off his outer garment. Don't get to thinking because Michael said that he's dancing around as a vulgar man in front of these women. He wasn't dancing around naked. He was clad, and he had enough clothes on, more than most people wear down at the beach. You don't have to worry about what he looked like. And of course he was undignified if he was the king. Kings don't usually walk around in their bathing suits. They don't walk around in shorts and sneakers even. Kings, when they go out in public, they dress regally and royally. And so he was undignified. He didn't play the part. He didn't look like a king, and she didn't like that he didn't look like a king. She didn't like that he didn't even act like a king, because kings are supposed to be very dignified. They're supposed to be very formal and very, you know, proper, and you're not supposed to act like David acted if you're the king. And I think number three, that she just didn't like the praises of God. She just didn't like anybody rejoicing. She was the daughter of Saul, you know. And Saul didn't like it either, I'm sure, if he were still around. He wouldn't have liked it. She didn't like it. She didn't have the heart that David had. No, not at all. She didn't understand. She didn't understand what David understood. That's why she couldn't rejoice. How could she rejoice? So the ark's coming. What does that mean to me? That I don't care about the ark. It's a hunk of furniture. Put it wherever you want to put it. I don't care about the ark coming. It doesn't enamor me. So what? God's presence is here. So what? God comes. Who needs God? I'm okay. I'm a self-made woman. I got the king as my husband. I don't need God. Who needs God anyway? Well, Michael, you really do, but you just don't know how much you need God. And if you knew how much you needed him, and if you did find him, that you then would also join the company of people out there jumping for joy because God is coming in and among his people. But she didn't get it. Now, the problem is David's married to her. That's a problem. I think it's a problem, is it not? And there is a lesson in there. And it probably is more pertinent to those of you here this morning that are not married. Because once you're married, it's over. Once you marry Michael, you're stuck with Michael. But I don't love her. You married her. You made a commitment. I know it doesn't make a difference what you say and what you vow and what you do and what you don't do. I still think it does. I just think the Bible tells us that we're married till death do us part. I know there are extenuating circumstances. I know there's desertion. I understand all that. I'm not here to talk about marriage or what to do with marriage or not to do with marriage. But what I'm saying is, before you ever get into it, make sure you understand with your eyes wide open what you're getting into. And this thing is, she's cute or he's handsome. I'm head over heels because look at him. Oh! Tall, dark, and handsome, as opposed to tall, dark, and ugly. Oh, I'll take him any day. My heart goes, look. You know, and sometimes when we're young and foolish, and sometimes when the emotions or the hormones get the best of us, we make decisions that we rue the rest of our lives. And that's unfortunate. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And that's why the Apostle Paul, and you know, how does God know all this? He's very smart. And the wisdom in his word is very good, and it's really right up to date. I mean, it's past 2018. It'll be good next year and the year after that too, where the Lord says, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Oh, but Brother Ernie, I'm going to win them to the Lord. And they promised that after we get married, they promised that they're going, yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, and you believed it. Oh, but I heard of someone that it happened to, and they married, and I've heard of people like that too, and thank God, God's merciful, and God can save sinners and bring souls to himself and make messed up situations in homes and to the trophy and honor and glory of his grace. But it really doesn't change what the Word of God tells us. There's no agreement with light and darkness, Christ and Belial. And David, he had it hard. I mean, it doesn't say everything in this chapter, and I just kind of let my mind wander. I mean, you think when he was walking home after that celebration, after he was so enjoying that meeting and having the presence of God come into the temple, and now he's got to go back home again. I don't know. What do you think he was thinking on his way up the steps to his house? Well, maybe nothing. Or maybe he was saying, oh, no, I got to see her. I got to face the music now. She's probably going to try to shoot a few holes through my joy. Oh, no, she's just bringing you now. She's not just bringing you down to earth. And she started in right away. I mean, it didn't take a heartbeat for her to start in with you. What did you do that for? Yeah, undignified. What are you doing jumping around like that? For the vocal man. You do that anyway. Do you think that's the first time that David ever feared or worshipped or honored or wanted the Lord? I wouldn't be surprised if when the first idea was floated that let's get the ark from the house of Obed-Edom. I wouldn't be surprised if Michael said, why do you need that thing? Just leave it alone. Forget about it. What's the difference? And David wouldn't be dissuaded. And when it finally came down the road, she saw what she saw. She despised him. Yeah, you're not supposed to despise your husband. She despised him in her heart. Oh, Lord, give us a good sense to understand that it's not just what they look like on the outside, but it's what they are on the inside. And what's on the inside is really what's most important, because whatever's on the outside is going to fall out, it's going to wrinkle, it's going to crinkle, it's going to shrink, it's going to fade, and it's going to decay, and it's going to go into the grave. Only what's done on the inside, that goes on, that never dies. That continues. The outward man perishes, but the inner man, that's renewed day by day. And so I feel bad for Michael. David said, I don't care what you say, honey. Oh, I don't think he said that. I don't care what you think. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified. I will be humiliated in my own eyes. I will be held in honor by these slave girls. They understand more than you do. They get it. And Michael was barren all the days of her life. I think we talked about that early on in this period. We talked about Sarah being barren. We talked about the stigma, especially that there was back in the days of the Old Testament. God shut her womb. God shut her womb from being barren, empty, dry, no fruit, all the days of her life. Well, let's get back on a happier note. And I just want to call your attention to, again, one more phrase. And that is, where is it? David danced before the Lord. What's it say in your translation? How did he do that? With all his might. Everybody's Bible says that, all his might. Your Bible say all included in there? It says all? Now, how do you do that? I mean, what does that mean? How do you do that with all his might? Do you think that meant all his physical exertion, all the physical body was just dumped into this whole thing? And I mean, he just jumped the good one. You think it had something to do with his vocal cords and the volume of praise that he was offering to God in celebration and in honor with all his might? You think it had something to do with the spiritual aspect of David, that he just praised and worshiped the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, with everything that was within him? I think that's what it means, because I think the word all means all. And when David danced before the Lord, and when David celebrated and rejoiced before the Lord, it says at least here, he did that with all his might. Can anybody think of another time in the Bible where we read about David and that word all? Say it loud. Say it loud.
Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name.
Yeah, we sang it a couple times. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and half of what's in me. A little bit left over, what I got left in the all that I have. I'm going to bless your holy name. And then we go through that long list in that Psalm 103 of all his benefits and all his blessings and all. And all within David just blessed the Lord. This wasn't a rare, outstanding occurrence, a one-in-a-lifetime deal with David. I think it was a reoccurring worship of God, praise of God, glory in God, and giving everything that he had, all that was within him, to the praise and to the worship of the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to the 32nd chapter in the book of Numbers. You read of it in Joshua 14, verse 8, if you're writing, and some of you are, but Numbers 32, in verse 12, and there are a couple other places too we could turn to find the same expression. But you know, the children of Israel, there were an awful lot of them. How many of them were there? 2 million, 3 million, 4 million? I don't know. 5 million?
Six.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay, 6 million. Lots of them. Well, how many of those children of Israel that came out of Egypt entered into the promised land?
Two.
You know their names?
Joshua
and Caleb. Two of them entered in. All the rest of them died. Grumbling did some of them in. And sexual immorality did some of them in. And a whole bunch of other things. 1 Corinthians 10, you can read about that. Unbelief did some of them in. But there were two guys, Joshua and Caleb, the lucky two. Well, they weren't lucky for no reason at all. That verse, somebody, if you have it, would you read that one? Numbers 32, 12. Anybody have it? Read it loud if you read.
Except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord.
Okay, why did they get to go in? Because they wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, they entirely, completely, wholly followed the Lord. We read elsewhere about those guys. There was another spirit in them. It wasn't like everybody else. They had a different spirit. The difference in them and others was that they wholly followed the Lord. And they who trust him wholly find him holy, true. Oh, there's something in here, 2 Samuel 6, that I can pick up on, that the Bible talks about with other men and other women and other people, that wholly, completely, entirely, with all that is within them, followed the Lord, blessed the Lord, worshiped the Lord. Oh, thank God that that's for me and you. But you know, Jesus probably puts it better than anybody. And if you have a Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 22. God had already said this to the Israelites through Moses, and Jesus reiterates it. It's in Matthew, it's also in Luke, but in Matthew chapter 22, if somebody else has verse 37, 22:37, and if you read it loud.
And he said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind."
Love the Lord your God with what? All your heart, with all your soul, with every little brain cell that you have left, all your mind. Just love the Lord with all. Now, you know, Jesus gave that real preeminence. You can sum up all the teachings of the Old Testament, the law, and Moses. You can sum it all up in these two words. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, how well am I doing? David did what he did with all his heart, with all his strength, with all his might. Joshua and Caleb did what they did. They wholly, completely, with everything in them, they followed the Lord. And Jesus said, I want you to love me with all your heart. I want you to love me with all your heart. At the end of the meeting last night, some of you had gone, but there were several that gave us words of instruction. How is it that we could drink from the fountain? How is it that we can learn that better? What does that mean? To drink and to drink and to drink and to drink and drink and drink some more. And I ask just some of the saints that are here, the older people that have tested the waters and understand about this and can help us. And one of them said, what we can do is we can just say, Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. And just remind him, maybe more, even remind yourself. Jesus, I love you. Jesus, I love you. There's a song that we sing, and it kind of says, Lord, if I say that 1,000 times a day, would that be too much if I said 1,000 times today, Jesus, I love you? Jesus, I love you. And that's it helps us to drink. It helps Jesus to come to us. It helps him to come into our souls, our lives. And here Jesus said to his disciples, the people there crowding around, love me with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, with everything that's within you. Bless his holy name. Don't be halfway. Don't be half-hearted. Don't be semi. Don't be enough, more than the next guy, so it's probably good enough. Lord, do I love you? Do I love you today with all my heart? Do I serve you today with all my strength? Have I given you everything in my life? Have I laid it all on the altar of sacrifice? When it comes time to blessing your name, do I bless you with all that is within me? Oh, Lord, help me to learn what David knew when he jumped and yelled and hollered and rejoiced and celebrated the presence of God. We can do that too today. We can celebrate the presence of God resting in the temple with all of our hearts. Bless his holy name. There's a hymn, a song that was written by Featherstone, William Featherstone. It's in our hymnal. I believe it's number 40. Let me make sure before we... Yes, number 40. It's entitled, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Let's sing it together. Jesus, I love thee, I know. this man Featherstone, I think you can figure it out when you look at the dates, the date he was born, and then the date he died. What do you come up with in your math? 27. That's rather young. He died at 27. He wrote the song when he was about 21. That's rather young also. But as a young man, William Featherstone really had a love in his heart for Jesus and expressed it in this song. It's kind of almost eerie to think when we get to the last verses that he talks about the death dew lying cold on his brow, in mansions of glory and endless delight. But I guess he didn't know he was going to die at 27, but what he did know is that there's a place that I'm going to, and I love you now, I love you here, and I'll love you throughout the ages of eternity. And in mansions of glory where there's endless delight, I'll still be loving you, I'll still be adoring you in mansions and heaven so bright. And I'll say when the death dew lies on my brow, Lord, if I love you, it's right now. I love you, Jesus. A young fellow. Well, depends on which way you're looking at it, but 21 is young. But he knew he had that love burning in his heart. I don't know that I could say, because I don't know William Featherstone very well, but I would think he must have loved Jesus with all his heart. And you and I want to do that too. And even as we pray this prayer, this song, and sing it, Jesus, I love you. If we express that to him, maybe he'll just help us to love him more and intensify that love and desire in our hearts. Let's sing those other three verses. Stand together as we sing. I love thee because thou hast first loved me and purchased my pardon on Calvary's tree. I love thee for wearing the thorns on thy brow. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now. I love you, Lord. We love you. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Tom, would you pray with us, please?
So thankful for your love for us, O God, that you gave yourself for us. The Lord, we want to, in return, love you.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
All God's soul, all strength.
Yes, Lord.
Oh, God, help us.
Yes,
help us to love you with all our heart.
Yes, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Before we leave, there's prayer this morning for any that would like to stay in the prayer room. And so until noontime, we'll be in there praying. So come if you can. The snack on the porch, weather permitting, if not the porch, the library at 2 o'clock. And then a DVD entitled The Case for Christ, Story of Lee Strobel. It's not a preaching segment. It's a movie. And it's about almost 2 hours, so by 3:15, quarter after three in that room, if you want to come and see this, that'll lend us 10 after five or so, okay? So later part of the afternoon. God bless you. Have a great day.
That's fine.
You too. Thanks.